Hello, this is Angela Schaefers, the host of Your Story Matters radio show. Today we have author, coach, and speaker Angela Dr. Harris. She has written her book, Dance in the Rain, His Joy Comes in the Morning, and goes out and speaks to inspire and encourage others and coaches with them about loss. Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with you today.
Me too. I was really excited when I looked at your blog, and of course you and I have connected on Facebook, so I've been able to follow you some there. But before we talk about the book and all that you're doing, I always like to have the guests share some of their background, their history, their story, where they kind of evolved from to get to the place that they're at today. Can you share that with our listeners?
I've had an amazing journey in life and lots of struggles and trials, and they've all contributed to who I am today. I was born with spina bifida, the form of myelomeningocele, which is the most severe form. And my life has just been amazing since day one. The doctors told my parents I probably would never walk, never talk, or never have children, and and I've done all that. I'm married for almost 18 years, have a 16-year-old daughter and a 14-year-old son, have the two children we are supposed to have, and I'm so blessed above what we could ask or imagine with the two of them. Our daughter is a professional dancer already at the age of 16, and not to be outdone by his sister, my son loves to scuba dive with sharks.
Oh, wow.
They keep me on... They keep me on my toes.
I bet.
I've had a lot of loss and struggle with the spina bifida. You know, nothing that I try to sit around and boohoo about. God has done his work in me and continues to do his work in me through that. Also, through my childhood, I experienced abuse by several people in my life, and that just has become part of my testimony. Our struggles really become our testimony if we choose to let them. But it is absolutely a choice of what, you know, we do with that. And so I love the whole theme of Your Story Matters, because that's just it. And that's what I love to share with people, is that we all have a story. And
that's right.
And no one's is less important than someone else's. And it's just finding your voice and finding your story and being prepared with that on any given moment, because you don't know who God is going to bring into your life. And there will be a time and a place, if you are ready and if you have allowed God to heal you in the areas that you need to be healed, there absolutely will be a time and a place He will put someone in your path that may have a similar story, who's not as far along on their journey as you are, and your story will matter then. And when we find that, when even before we share it with someone, when we find our story and we give voice to it, we take power away from Satan and we give power to the Lord, and our story does matter, and then it's for His glory. And then none of it, you know, none of it matters of what we had to go through, because He has won.
You obviously have been dealing with adversity for many years, all your life, and I would love for you to share with the listeners some of the traits that you developed, the characteristics of you being you from childhood on. Obviously, you had to deal with some difficulties and challenges as a child, and that sometimes just growing up anyway is hard enough, because other kids and being, you know, under medical care, those types of things. What are some of the traits that you really developed over the years, and how do you think you developed those traits, and who was the most significant impact on you as far as helping you to build the strength and character that you have today?
Several different people got placed in my life just along the way. My dad really was influential a lot, because he started seeking out alternative health care for me when I was just 3 months old. And so I like to say, and I actually, along with, you know, coaching on grieving and death and dying and things like that, I actually am a nutritional consultant and coach on health and wellness. So I sort of have these two dichotomies in my life of both ends of the spectrum, living a full and healthy life and then, you know, dealing with death and grieving. But I like to tell people that there really is an answer, both in the medical community as well as the natural health community, because I would not be alive without, you know, modern medical knowledge and science. But I wouldn't be as healthy and whole as I am without the alternative and natural. And my dad started seeking some of those things out for me when I was just 3 months old, and I'm 40 today. So he was very influential in it. He also would not let me sit back and use my spina bifida as an excuse not mm-hmm. to do things. Mm-hmm. I like to try everything once. There's certain things I will never repeat again, but he encouraged me to try to do things that, you know, maybe other people in my life were telling me to not try because of the spina bifida or whatever. And I have had just dear and precious friends along the way who have each given me pieces of my journey and helping me discover myself. I just had wonderful people and believe in me before I even believed in myself, because there was right. a long, long time before I believed in myself. Mm-hmm. And God just gave me who I needed as I needed them. And I didn't always realize it at the moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I had to get past that point in the journey. You know, friends come and go. And then, you know, as I moved on and grew and matured, I would look back and realize the pieces that they gave me, you know. So mm-hmm. it's all a process. Life is a process. I really learned that. And we
very
just
true.
Need to ride the roller coaster and, you know, not take it too seriously at times. And I'm preaching to the choir there when I say that. But I'm just, as I get older and I am becoming more myself, you know, just learning that God's in control. It doesn't matter what the bumps in the road are. It doesn't matter how many they are, because mm-hmm. I've had a lot of them. He's never lost control.
Well, I think one key thing that you said is that, you know, we look back and hopefully we learn from the people that have been around us, from the circumstances that we were in, and that's critical to understanding our story and the power in our story, and then really discerning who are we in that story, because I believe that our story is actually the truth, if you will, to our life purpose, and it shows us what we're supposed to do. And it sounds like you're living your life purpose by coaching and speaking
yes.
and doing what you do.
Yeah.
And I love that you do both. That's so awesome that you do the health and wellness side, but yet you help people talk about and deal with death and loss and end of life
mm-hmm.
issues. So that's amazing. Was there something specific that happened as far as you wanting to deal with that spectrum of life issues, as far as loss and end of life?
Well, one of my degrees is in social work, and I did that as a hospital social worker for a little while when I was working outside the home, and also doing social work in nursing homes. So I was around death and dying type of situations, and it's a gift God gave me, absolutely, to be in those moments and to know what to say and to not be afraid of death, because
mm-hmm.
I know my future is secure, my eternal life is secure. And it absolutely is hard to talk about, and I just had the privilege of being able to visit with families who were in that situation, and to be able to put them at ease in that moment during those times, and to help facilitate open communication when nobody wanted to sort of talk about the obvious elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my struggles in life, my hurts in life, the lessons were already there about God is God. The circumstances we're in are different for each of us, but God is the constant, and that's why I was able to come up with the Bible study part for the book, because He is not focused on the circumstances. He's like, hello, I'm still here. And the springboard that sort of got me to finally sit down and write a book and put it on paper was that we did have a friend back in the late 90s who was killed in an accident, and
mm-hmm.
he left behind a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, and an unborn child.
Mm.
And I really, my heart just went out to those kids and to that mom. And I knew that they would not remember who their dad was, and
mm-hmm.
certainly the unborn child would never even know him. He loved the Lord so much. And as I grieved for those kids, my concern was he would want them to know how much he loved the Lord, and he would not want them to grow up and be bitter and angry teenagers who were mad at God
mm-hmm.
or why did you do this and why did you take my dad and life is not fair. And I had faced some of those same things
mm-hmm.
through my journey. Life is not fair, and, you know, dealing with that anger at God. And so that was sort of the springboard of why I sat down to begin to write the book, was just that I wanted mom to have something to share with her kids,
mm-hmm.
for them to say, this was your dad's story. This was his life. This was his knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't want you to get stuck in
mm-hmm.
his loss.
Mm-hmm. Is the book mostly about him?
No, absolutely not. It's a two-part book. It is the first part is a journal and the second part is a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it so that it is literally adaptable to anybody. In the introduction, I do share with you, a little bit of my story and about Shane and his death.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it is just literally questions and blanks.
Mm-hmm.
So there are sections in the journal for if your loss is of a parent or of a sibling or of a child or even just even a miscarriage, and I don't even mean just a miscarriage because I've had a miscarriage, and that's a very painful loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be adapted. You fill out the sections that apply to you and your loss, and then there is a Bible study that is the second part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll come back to that in a minute. Also in the journal, as I was a social worker working with a client one time, it was a mother who was at the end of life with a terminal illness, and she was leaving behind 8 children,
mm-hmm.
and like ages 2 to 18. And I knew those older children would remember mom, but the younger children would not have that. And so the book was literally already in editing phase and almost ready to go to print. I said, wait a minute, I have to add another chapter. And so I did. I added a section for someone facing a terminal illness or someone who's just wanting to prepare their own story and leave it for a loved one. And so it's called This Gift I Leave You. And it can be written for the person who is preparing instead of waiting till after a loss has happened. And as a way to document their own life story and things they would want their loved one to know. And so there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of questions in the journal. So it literally, I really tried to make it apply to any type of loss of any situation and relationship. And like I said, you just fill out the portions that apply to you. I have filled out the journal for both of my children. We had a friend that was killed several years ago in Afghanistan. And my husband and I had to fly out of town. My husband played taps for his funeral. And it was just weeks after the book came out in print. And my children came to me with the book and said, Mom and Dad, you're going on the plane together. We had never gone on a plane together without them,
mm-hmm.
And they said, what happens if you don't come home?
Oh,
and,
wow.
Can you fill this out? And, it really opens, the moral of that story is that there's always those teaching moments for our kids if we look for them. And,
right.
In that moment when my son was 11, he said, Mom and Dad, what if you don't come home? And I said, you know what? That's going to really feel like God failed you if
mm-hmm.
we don't come home.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, yeah. And I said, but what have I taught you? And he goes, that God doesn't fail. And I said, so what if we don't come home? And he said, then God has another plan for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what I want you to do is trust him with that. So it was just a really neat conversation at a really awkward moment. And that's what I hope death and dying can be, is that we can take that elephant out of that room and say, oh, this hurts and it's scary and I don't know what to do, but I'm going to have a testimony out of this if I choose to find God in this moment and not be angry and turn my back on him.
Definitely think that it's so critical to be able to give voice to all the feelings surrounding terminal illness and injuries and even disabilities. And I think that that's powerful what you're trying to do. And obviously by having the book in journal format, it engages the reader in understanding and dealing with their own feelings and thoughts, because all of our thoughts and feelings are different. So you can't just tell someone this is how to think about death or loss. This is how to deal with it. You have to really help them to deal with it and learn from it in their own way based on who they are from their own story.
Absolutely. And that's why it's questions with blanks. And so it's literally, I tried to put as little of myself in the book as I can. And I actually got rejected by several publishers because of that, because they said, this isn't personalized enough. And I said, it's not supposed to be. It's not about me.
Right,
and
right.
And so I really want this to be about whoever has picked this up and Jesus. That's, mm-hmm. that's the two people involved in this book. My name went on it because I compiled it together. I like to say I compiled it. It's hard sometimes for me even to say I wrote it because I didn't. Jesus wrote it. And the second part of the book is the Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And it covers anger and sorrow and grief and acceptance, the stages that we each face, you know. And I say right in the beginning to read it through before you even put ink down on the paper, because we all go through those stages at different times too. And so there's no right or wrong that you have to do chapter one in the Bible study before you do chapter two. It's just you do what you're led to do when you're led to do it. And the Bible study is actually repeated twice in there. Again, this goes back to that mom that I was working with that was terminal. I realized that if she had had enough time at the end of her life to complete this journal, that she could actually complete the Bible study, the whole section of the Bible study, and leave that as part of her gift to her children. And then it's in there twice, because then as her children grow and age, they can come through and answer the same questions and learn on their journey of healing through that loss. But it would be so nice for a child to be able to say, what would my mom say if she was here? And so as a gift that mom or any of us can leave a loved one, to be able to say, oh, this is what my mom knew about this scripture, or this is what my mom felt about this scripture. So the journal, or the Bible study, is actually repeated twice in its entirety in the book.
Sounds like a really great book to have, and something that someone could really learn from.
I hope so. That's the goal, is just that God be glorified and that people come to healing and to find their story to share with others.
And I'm very excited to say that if the listeners comment at the website once your show is put at yourstorymatters.net, they will be entered to win a copy of the book that you've generously donated to us today. And of course, if anyone wants to buy the book before that, and they can't wait to try and win, they can go to your website or to Amazon, and it's called Dance in the Rain, His Joy Comes in the Morning. And what would you say that you've learned as far as the responses from the readers of the book and how it's affected other people so far?
I just have been humbled. There's not really words. I just look at my life, all of it. The sorrow, the suffering. I looked at my children and the life God has given me. I just never would have imagined it, and I'm honored He picked me. I don't know why He did, but I'm just humbled.
That's awesome. I think that's great, and I think that that's so important that you, this is part of your story. It's part of your journey. It's part of what you were meant to do, and it's part of you living out your purpose, and I love that you've been doing that so well. And based on that, can you share with the listeners what motivates you to do that? I know you've mentioned having a belief in God and you have faith, obviously, but what are the things that motivate you to just put yourself out there? I mean, obviously, it's not that easy to just write a book and then hope that it sells, or to find a publisher and those types of things. So what would you say to our listeners who need to be encouraged?
A couple things. I just feel like I have the responsibility to share. He's given me above what I can ask or imagine, and how can I not glorify Him with that? How can I stay silent in that? It's not something that I know how to do. And then also, my children are huge motivators for me. I just want them to know God never, never, ever fails. And it doesn't matter what we're facing. And I want them to have such a strong relationship with Him. If that's all I accomplish, if I never affected another life except my children, that would be enough. I mean, I'm grateful beyond words that I can touch others' lives, but if it was just merely for my children, that would be enough. So I really just want to live my life where they can look at me and say, Mom taught me. Jesus loves me. Jesus never fails me. Jesus is with me no matter what I'm doing. I want them to know God is present in every single minute of their life, every dream they have, every request that they have. And we used to, when I would have to take my daughter for her ballet training, we used to have to park in the middle of downtown in the city. So we'd start praying like several miles out for a parking spot. And I'd be like literally just driving along and be like, okay, kids, let's pray for a parking spot. Because it was horrible. Otherwise, we'd have to like walk and walk and walk. And we would. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, there would be a parking spot. And I just would use that as a teaching moment to say, see, he listens. He hears us. So everything is pretty much motivated by, I want them to see Jesus is real in their life, in my life, in every minute of every day around them.
That makes sense. And I think that that's powerful to really live out the way that you feel and the way that you believe.
Absolutely.
Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what you do as far as coaching others? What does that look like and how do you go about doing that?
Coaching is client directed, so the goals can be anything that the client wants. And I do, you know, death and dying. I do nutrition, weight loss, starting to do some corporate conflict resolution kind of things, looking at doing that. It can literally be anything that a person just needs some guidance with. It's not therapy. It's not meant to last forever. It's meant to truly have a beginning and an end. And it's just, I come alongside you and help you put the goals to paper and define them and plan a course of action and just to help you walk the path, whatever that is. And a lot of times, you know, someone will come in for a specific goal and then as we talk, we uncover, you know, things that may be blocking them or stopping them from reaching that goal. And so we might find another goal that they didn't even realize that they had.
Right.
But it's totally just client-directed, just to help them have someone to be accountable to, help them feel like they have someone on their side and, you know, to kind of bounce ideas off of and support system. And that's the main thing.
That makes sense. And how do people contact you if they'd like to learn more about you or your coaching or find the book?
My website is still under construction. I'm trying to get myself organized where I'm all in one spot. So I'm almost getting there. So my website is www.createdtobe.com, and it's created and the number 2 and the letter B as in boy.com.
That's great. And do you do online coaching or anything virtual? Because I know, as you know, a lot of people nowadays are doing that, and some people obviously are not located near you but would like to talk with you or work with you.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I do Skype and work heavily by email and by telephone, so I can work with anybody anywhere if they're interested.
Great. Angela, thank you so much for sharing a part of your story today and for offering a book to one of our listeners to win. And I really appreciate all that you're doing. I know that you're making a huge impact on the lives of those around you and touching others by the way you live out your life purpose and you live through your story and learning from it and sharing it with others.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful to talk to you.